verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. You pray for us now. We'll be preaching. I've been preaching every night now since I don't know how many nights in a row. All 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that. And so I don't squeak out too much tonight. If you'll pray for us, the Lord just help us to say what He wants said. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's two commandments in that verse. One of them's don't get drunk, and the other's be filled with the Spirit. We as Christians love to major on the first commandment in that verse. And we make a big issue over getting drunk, and it is a big issue. Nobody ought to get drunk. Amen? Nobody ought to drink booze. The first step to becoming an alcoholic is taking a sip of alcohol. And boy, we say, how horrible. How horrible. Did you hear about so-and-so? He got drunk. How terrible. That woman that lives down there, her husband gets drunk. And that is horrible. But what we forget a lot of times is there's a second half of that verse. And that second half is just as much the Word of God as that first half. We don't like that, do we? We love to talk about everybody's sin, but the Lord turns right around and says, be filled with the Spirit. It's one commandment not to get drunk. It's another command of God to be filled with the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. It is God's will for every person in this room to be filled with the Spirit. I don't believe there's ever been a time in the history of the church when being filled with the Holy Spirit is talked more about than it is tonight, but there's less of it than there's ever been. I hear people on the radio. I listen to all kinds of preaching on the radio. You name it, I listen to it. And sometimes just for kicks. Sometimes I want to find out what's going on. And sometimes I'm just really enjoying it. And I listen to all these preachers, and they say, boy, I thank God for filling me with the Holy Ghost. And you can always tell if they're wrong while they put the emphasis on holy. They don't say, thank God for filling me with the Spirit. They say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Not Holy Ghost. And that's a dead giveaway of somebody who puts too much emphasis on being filled with the Spirit. But just because some people go overboard, and just because some churches never get out of the book of Acts, and just because some churches' favorite scripture is Acts chapter 2, does not release me and you of our responsibility of looking at this thing the way the Bible says it and really being filled with the Spirit of God. If you talk about a Baptist being filled with the Spirit nowadays, people think you're automatically talking about a Babdecostal. And they say, oh, he's one of them nuts that ain't got his doctrine straight, huh? But I want to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, being filled with the Spirit is not a false doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine, as long as it's done the way the Bible says. Every Christian ought to be filled with the Spirit. Make sure you understand the difference between being filled with the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have anybody else? They say, have you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, if you're saved, yes. If you're lost, no. Every Christian has been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. That's the only way you can get in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, along there it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit puts you in the body of Christ. If He's not put you in, you're not even in. So every Christian has been baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, being filled with the Spirit is something that happens a bunch of different times. You're only baptized with the Spirit one time. You can be filled over and over and over and over again. Now, you ever thought about this tonight, and this is what I'm preaching on. The only way I know how to teach anybody anything is by illustration. And I know sometimes my illustrations are wild, and sometimes people look at me like, what kind of a brain have you got to think up them crazy illustrations like you think up? And I don't know, but I know one thing. The best way I can get a truth across somebody is compare it to something. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to compare these two verses, or this set parts of this verse. One of them said, don't get drunk. The other one says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight on the subject, intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. And I believe that we're not supposed to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Ain't that wild that the Lord put it in the... It almost sounds like blasphemy, don't it? But we're supposed to be drunk on new wine tonight, and being filled with the Spirit is a lot. Don't take... I'm not being irreverent. Being filled with the Spirit is a lot like being drunk. It really is. Now, I've never been drunk in my life on alcohol. I never have. I don't even know what it feels like. I remember one time this boys we camped out when I was about 13, and we tried to make us some wine, and they told us, if you'll get blackberries and squeeze the juice out of them, and you'll lay it up, we laid it up in somebody's basement for about a week or two, and we thought, boy, we're going to camp out Friday night, and we're going to drink that wine. And boy, we talked about it, and we thought, boy, this is going to be fun. And it would knock you down, honest. When you pull the lid off of that stuff, you think, Lord, it had fumes coming out of it. It stunk terrible to me. And I said, but I'm going to drink it. I'm going to see what it feels like to get drunk. I guess I was about 11, 12, something like that. And boy, we tried our best to drink. I couldn't feel nothing. Them other boys started going, I think that's faking. I don't know. But I said, I can't feel nothing. I take another sip and about puke. And I said, I can't feel nothing. I don't even know what it feels like. But I sure have been around a lot of people that's been drunk. And buddy, I can tell you that's something that you don't want to be, but it's something that the Lord compares being filled with the Spirit. There's a lot about Spirit and being filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of drinking. Hear how I say that, didn't you? Now listen, up north, you know what they got? They got these taverns, and it says food and spirits. And I asked the preacher up there, I said, man, that's weird, calling them drinks spirits. Food and spirits? Why would you call a drink spirit? Well, you know why. There's a spirit in that stuff. But it ain't the Holy Spirit. It's a demon spirit. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is compare being filled with the Holy Spirit and being drunk on wine. You know what the disciples did when they come out there in Acts chapter 2 preaching like a bunch of maniacs? You know what the people said about them? Said they're drunk. They said, them guys are drunk. They've been hitting the bottle, and it ain't but the third hour of the day. And they didn't realize that they were filled with the Spirit. That Lord will take you off of that 100 proof, and he'll put you on the living water. I've heard a lot of guys in testifying get up, and they haven't been saved long, and they don't know how else to say it. But they get up and they say, praise God, I'm drunk on the Lord tonight. You ever? And they don't mean that disrespectful. They don't mean to be irreverent. That's the only way they know how to describe the feeling that they have. Now, I tell you one thing, brother, I've been so drunk on the Holy Ghost before that I didn't know where I was coming or going, hadn't you? I mean, where it just gets foggy and you start seeing double and staggering, running into things and everything else. The Bible said, don't get like that on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Now tonight, brother, there's a lot that I hate about drinking alcohol. I hate everything about it, and I have no sympathy for it whatsoever. But you know, you can't hardly help but laugh at somebody drunk. They'll tickle the fire out of you, and it's sad and it's tragic, but like old Otis, you know, on Andy Griffith, that guy was funny, man. I mean, just the things they'd say. It's awful to laugh about it. That one of them went down the street one day, and he staggered down the street like this, and he stood up on a mail collecting box there, and he looked up at a clock and said, what about that? I quit eating chocolate and I'm still 2:15. You know, you never know what they're liable to come up with. They can say some of the craziest things. You ever heard that story about this guy? These two old drunks is walking down a railroad track, and one of them said to the other, and he says, Lord, it's the longest set of steps I ever went up in my life. And the other looked back at him and he said, it ain't these steps, it's these low handrails that's killing me. Now, they'll tickle you sometimes the way they'll talk. And they don't all the time know what's going on, you know. Sometimes their mind's off. They don't judge right. And some of you remember them old days when you thought like that. Well, these two up in New York City staggered into the subway, and they got lost in the subway and walked around in there about half the night. And they come out early that morning and looked around and said, man, that guy had the biggest basement I've ever seen in my life. And the other one said, well, though, that ain't nothing. Did you see that set of trains he had in there? That's the way they do. They don't think right. And being filled with the Spirit of God is a lot like that. So tonight, I want to draw you a comparison. It's not going to be long. I'm just going to show you a resemblance between being filled with the Spirit and being drunk on wine. Number one, first thing I want to say is this. When a man is drunk, he can't hide it. When a man is drunk, he can't hide it. Now, if you know anything at all, you know when you're around somebody that's drunk. I was at a funeral recently, and every time this one certain pallbearer would walk by me, I'd smell something. And buddy, I can smell that stuff a mile away. If somebody in here is drinking tonight right around up here, I can smell it. It's a sickening smell. And brother, you can try to cover it up and spray stuff in your mouth. I've seen them eat mints, drink Listerine, and Scope, and everything in the world trying to hide it. You can't hide it. It comes out your pores, man. It comes out of you. It don't just come out your mouth. You sweat it out. And there's nothing any more sickening than sweat and alcohol and a stinking body all mixed up together. You can tell it a mile away. And you can try toothpaste and certs and mouthwash, and all that does is just give it a little twinge and a whang to it. And brother, nobody can stand that smell but somebody else is drinking. Nobody can stand to be around a drunk but another drunk. They don't notice it. And they think we can't notice it. It's like somebody smoking cigarettes and they keep it hid, you know. You can smell it when they walk in. It gets in your clothes, gets in your hair. And alcohol's the same way. You cannot hide it no matter how hard you try. If one of these boys been drinking here tonight, I could just walk by here and that aroma would just come up. Boy, and I could, that's a sick, beer is more like pig slop than anything in this world. And a man can't hide it when he's got alcohol in his body. He can't hide it. I've seen them try to do this, you know. Stand up straight, you know. I've seen them driving down the road weaving this way and that way. Well, I had a friend, an uncle of mine, used to get drunk all the time, and he said, now always use your signal lights, always put your brakes on, and that way if the car's behind you, he'll think you ain't drinking. But what they don't realize is when you see a car going down the road like this, you know they're sometimes I'm studying and I do that, but you know they're doing something, or they're drunk one, and brother, a man cannot hide it. And nobody can stand to be around a drunk but another drunk. You remember that little poem I used to get? I'm not sure I can remember it all, but it goes something like this. One evening in October, when I was far from sober and carrying home a load with manly pride, my feet began to stutter, so I lay down in the gutter, and a pig came up and lay right down by my side. I said, it's fair weather when good fellers get together, till a lady passing by was heard to say, you can tell a man who boozes by the company that he chooses. And the pig got up and slowly walked away. I tell you, brother, nobody can stand to be around a drunk but another drunk. Do you know that? You can't hide it. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. Let me say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. It'll bubble over in your soul. It'll squeeze out of your eyeballs and run down. I like what old brother John did the other night. I love to see him get drunk like he did here the other night. And don't you visitors take that wrong. I'm not talking about drunk on wine. He got filled up and started running the pews back through there. You can't hide it. I believe you'd blow up if it didn't come out somewhere. When a man gets filled with the Holy Spirit, it can't be hid. I heard about old Jack Howe. And he said, he lived in the Bible, lived in church, lived in the pulpit. And it's just in him. It's just in him. It's just in him. And his boy played ball, and he kept begging. He said, Dad, when you going to come see me play ball? He said, Son, I ain't got time. So he finally went to one of his ball games. He said, now, Dad, don't sit there like a nerd or something, you know, with a suit and a tie on and doing writing notes and stuff. He said, look normal for a change and don't embarrass me at the ball game. He said, okay. And so he sat there and he watched the ball game, and the ball game went pretty good there for a while, and it got down to the right to last, you know, and the home team was behind. He started getting into it. And boy, about that time, somebody hit a home run or something, and the home team went away, ran around. People started clapping, and Jack, he said he jumped up and started saying, glory to God! Woo! Amen! Hallelujah! And everybody looked at him like, and you know what? He was expressing joy. It was inside of him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When a man's filled with the Spirit, he can't hide it. He can't hide it. It'll come out on you. It will come out on you. You can try to cover it up with a worldly cert, but it'll still come out. If the Word of God's inside you, you can't drown it out with some kind of the devil's Listerine. Brother, it'll come out of you. It'll come out of you. You'll be out there trying to act cool with the world, and about that time Scripture will start coming out of you. It'll be inside you. A man cannot hide it when he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Number two, when a man is drunk, he cries and laughs a lot. You ever notice that? I just went up and spoke to them on the street corner, and them start bawling. They're so tender hearted. They'll sit there in them old bars. A song come on the jukebox, and they'll just bawl. And I've done this before. I'd give an old fella a tract. You'd tell his neck's real red, where he'd drunk all his life. Him sitting there, you know, turn up and say, sir, God loves you. He'll look out in them old bloodshot eyes. Tears start running out. He just cries so easy when he's got that old spirit of that alcohol inside of him. And then they'll laugh real easy, too. Ain't nothing funny. They just laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, I was out in Roses one time. I believe it was out there. And it was back when these little old things was popular that people was buying for Christmas. I don't know what they was, but you pushed a button and they laughed. You ever seen one of them things? I don't know what, a little old man or something, and you mashed this button and went, that's the way it did. And just go on and on and on and on and on. And I heard one of them things over there, and I thought, what in the world is that? And you know, the longer I listened to that, I couldn't help but smile. I started grinning, and my smile started cracking like that. And next thing there wasn't nothing funny. Just hearing that laughing, it was a blessing. Just hear somebody laughing like that. And that's what them old drunks do. They'll get together and, you know, say, 99 bottle of beer on the wall, 99 bottle of beer, take one down. You know, you heard Pastor, I shouldn't have done that. You'll sing that the rest of the service in your mind. But I tell you what, they'll laugh, they'll cut up, and they'll act a fool. And that's the same way it is when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You come in here sometime when the Spirit really gets a moving. I was a laughing at old Bobby there a while ago. You know, I was thinking about him the other day. I said, it's been a while since I seen Bobby get on one. He tied one on tonight. And boy, I said, it's been a while since I seen him cut loose. And boy, we just laughed. And a lot of people think you're being disrespectful. We're not laughing at him. We're laughing with him. He's enjoying himself. When a man's drunk, he laughs a lot. When a man's filled with the Spirit, he'll laugh. And just, ha, ha, ha. Woo! Good to be saved. Amen. I told you about that before. We was out there going down to Shelby one time. And I was going down there to preach, Charlotte, on our way to Charlotte. And boy, we had a blowout, and it was on the side of Interstate 85, 95 degrees, brother. We had an old boy from up in the mountains with us. He'd shout at the drop of a hat and drop the hat to get to shout. And buddy, he'd just look for any excuse in the world to get to shout. And that old boy, he jumped out there. His brother Kenneth Angel, you remember him? And old Kenneth, he'd get out there and he'd start changing them flat. And boy, he'd take that lug wrench like his. He'd break one of them lug wrench and go, and stand up and go, whoa, thank you, Jesus, like that. I mean, trucks, 18-wheelers are whizzing by. That old band just sitting there rocking, and we just laughed and laughed. Now, you know somebody's laughing out there with a blowout, sweat running down their face. They're either drunk or filled with the Spirit, one. And the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We've had the law called on us out here in our church parking lot. Before, we'd be out there. I'm one time up there, and we was out there praying one night, and here come the police going to run off these bunch of drunks hanging around. It was me and a bunch of these guys. And we was drunk on the Holy Ghost. When a man's drunk, he cries and laughs a lot. You tell a sad story and he'll just sit there and bawl. You sing a song about mama or going home or something like that, and they'll just shed off this big old tears you ever seen in your life. That's the way a person filled with the Spirit of God is. Buddy, I tell you, we're living in a day when a lot of people don't know what being filled with the Spirit of God is because they can't cry. You hear me? Yeah, when's the last time you had a good old ball? I mean, just bawled your eyes out. It's a lot of people think that you're some kind of a sissy or you can't control your emotion if you cry. I love to cry. I mean, tears of joy. It feels so good. It's just like you get a bath on the inside. When God just gets all over you and you think where you could have been, you could have been out there in a drunkard's grave somewhere and in hell, and God's just blessing you, just start bawling. I mean, a slinging snot and a wiping tears and slobbering out of your mouth. Boy, it gets good when it gets like that. It gets good when a man's filled with the Spirit. He cries a lot. He laughs a lot. He's got some emotions about it. People say, well, those poor fanatics down there at that church can't control their emotions. Well, I'll tell you one thing. At least we're not in a casket. People say, you believe all that shouting is of God? Well, no, probably ain't. You believe all that sleeping at them other churches is of God? Of course it ain't. None of it is. When a man's drunk, he cries. You know what they call it out there in the world? He's lit. Boy, we went out there and old so-and-so, he got lit. I've got lit a time or two myself, ain't you? I like to get in a good service, boy, and that spark come off there and you get lit. That's what happened to this brother here a while ago. Something, it's like I got one of them little old things at home where I light my grill, and it's about that long. You mash this little button, a little butane lighters there, you know, and a little fire comes out of it. And I thought, boy, that's a trick, man. Don't have to strike matches or try to set a piece of paper on fire and put it in there. And I thought, boy, I'd like to have me a spiritual one of them things where I could just go tick anytime I want to and it just get lit like that for God, wouldn't you? Yes, sir, brother. It's when a man's filled with the Spirit of God, he laughs a lot. He cries a lot. But let me say this. Now, some of you ain't going to like this, but it's true. When a man's drunk, he's free-hearted. Ain't that right? He'll give away every dime he's got. Amen? Uh-oh. Don't like that, do you? You know what's coming, don't you? When a man's drunk, money don't mean nothing to him. Have y'all noticed that? Have any times you ever heard somebody say, oh, so-and-so, every time he gets paid, he goes down there and gets drunk and he comes home broke. You know why? When a man gets drunk, money has no value. When a man gets drunk, he's free-hearted. There's an old fellow down in Nebo, had a good job. We used to see him before I ever got saved. That man could be a millionaire, probably, if he hadn't a drunk liquor. And that old boy, he'd come in there on Friday evening where he got paid, and he never would go to the bank. He'd have a wad of $100 bills like this. And he'd just have them sticking in his pocket like that. And somebody walk up to him, they knew he was about half drunk, and they'd say, hey, man, how about let me borrow a couple hundred? He'd just, yeah, pull it out there and peel off to a head. Well, let me borrow a couple hundred till next week, so-and-so. And boy, he'd just peel it off and give it to him. You ask that same man for money when he is sober, he'd laugh at you. He wouldn't give you anything. But when a man gets drunk, he'll give away everything. He don't care. Money means nothing to him. And I want to say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. When you really get close to God and filled with the Spirit of God, you ain't a tightwad. You ain't stingy. Money don't mean as much to you as it used to when you get right with God. One of the sure ways you're right with God, you know you're right with God, is when you don't worship money and live for money and all you think about is money, and you don't get mad when the preacher asks you to give to some cause where they need money. I remember, boy, we all got drunk around here when we was raising money for that camp. You ain't gonna believe this, but it's the truth, and there ain't no rich people in here that I know of. You better hope I don't find out. Because you've been holding out on us, you crook. We're raking and a scraping, trying to get the job done, and you are a crook if you're sitting here holding out on us. And this bunch of poor people sitting in here tonight, You say, "Yeah, that big fancy church down there, you're a bunch of rich." You don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know what you're talking about. There was people did without and gave. We had, I don't know how many people. We had one lady, I think it was Sister Earlene. We had 10 weeks to raise $110,000. And we said, "Everybody give $1,000. We had nobody, there was hardly nobody in here had $1,000. She said, "I'll get me some kids and I'll babysit them, make $100 a week for 10 weeks and give $1,000. Ain't that the way you did yours?" And Earlene gave $1,000. We had a man come up over here. He stood up over here. He said, "I've got my retirement at work. I ain't got no money. My retirement's worth about $5,200. You can have it." Y'all remember that? And buddy, when that happened, everybody got about 3 sheets in the wind. And we started crying and laughing. People go, "I'm going to give $1,000. Somebody said, "You ain't got no $1,000. "I know it. I'll get it. I'll go down there and bank and borrow." Something like that just got plumb hilarious, plumb ridiculous. The Bible said God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you know what cheerful means? It means ridiculous, hilarious, where you don't care. Now, I know some of you don't like that, but you're scared. You're scared we're going to ask you for something. We ain't. You don't have to give a dime if you don't want to. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get your heart right with God, you ain't stingy no more. The only person who don't tithe and is the ones that don't like to hear it is the one that ain't filled with the Spirit of God. That's right. Number 4. When a man's filled with the Spirit, he is friendly to everybody. When a man's drunk, he's friendly to everybody. A drunk don't meet no strangers. You ever notice that? You never seen them before in your life? "How you doing, buddy?" "Good old boy here, friend." I've talked to a lot of them on the street. "How you do, sir?" "Pretty good. How are you today?" When a man's drunk, he's friendly to everybody. Now, bless your hearts, I shouldn't have to say this, but if you are filled with the Spirit of God, you can be nice to anybody. I didn't say you're going to like everybody you meet, but if you can be nice to them, and if you're not nice to them, that's what we got an altar up here for. Nobody likes an old grouchy, griping, grumbling, fussing Christian. And if you go in to work on your job tomorrow, and every time they ask you something, you bite their head off, and you gripe about this, and gripe about that, and gripe about this, all you need is to read your Bible a few hours and pray till God fills you with the Spirit again, and you won't be so hateful. Amen. When a man's filled with the Spirit of God, he'll let the Holy Spirit lead him. When a man's filled with the Spirit of God, he won't go over to somebody and try to hurt somebody else. When somebody's filled with the Spirit of God, they will not smoke cigarettes in the church parking lot. Y'all know you ain't supposed to do that. Now, if you're a visitor and you don't know no better, I'm not trying to be mean to you, but some of you people know good and well. I mean, the Spirit of God will tell you you ain't got no business smoking on church property. Amen? And for heaven's sake, not throw them down on God's ground. I mean, if you're going to litter up something, let it be the floorboard of your car. The Spirit of God will tell you that you're not supposed to watch dirty movies on TV. If you can say it, hear me well. You say, "I ain't never coming back." Well, you better listen while you got a chance, because you probably let the devil run you off and won't never hear it again. But the Spirit of God will not let you sit and watch people take their clothes off and pile in bed and cuss and use God's name in vain and not bother you. The Spirit of God will bother you if you do that. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean or hateful or ugly tonight. The Spirit of God teaches us better than that. And I know people disagree on stuff, and I know people have different convictions, but Lord have mercy, you've got to draw the line somewhere. The Spirit of God, ladies, will convict you if you go out in public not dressed properly and parading your body around for men to look at. The Spirit of God won't leave you alone if you do like that. If you're saved, the Spirit of God will bother you. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I said if you're saved, the Spirit of God will bother you. You know, y'all know me. I love basketball and all that, but I'm not trying to say you're wrong if you disagree with me on this, but I just can't hardly stand to go to a ball game. And I love the game. And it's been years. I think I went to one ball game in like 10 years, and the whole time I was there, I felt just as out of place as a fish on land. You say, well, Brother Danny, I go, don't bother me. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not saying it's a sin. I am saying this. Maybe I'm just hyper nervous or something like that. But if I'm sitting in a crowd of people and they're taking God's name in vain here and taking God's name in vain there, and liquors are flowing all over the place, and you can smell liquor and all you hear is cussing and ranting, I don't see how you can feel comfortable in an atmosphere like that. Amen? Really, huh? Honest to the Lord, folks. You know, there was a time when Christians didn't even associate with worldly amusements. And I'm not saying the things are sin. I'm not saying it's sin to play ball. I'm not saying it's a sin to ride the roller coaster. I'm not saying you work, that's between you and God. I'm not being hateful tonight. But I'm just saying if the Spirit of God's in you, it'll grieve you if there's a bunch of people cussing His holy name all around you. Amen? You say, well, Brother Danny, you're getting too mean tonight. I'm just telling you what, if the Spirit of God's in you, it's going to grieve that Spirit if people around you is cussing Jesus Christ. And if you can sit and let this world curse your Savior and just sit there and it don't bother you and laugh at the likes of Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy or Arsenio Hall, if you can sit there and laugh at it, all I know to tell you is, son, there's something bad wrong in your heart. You can say, I don't like that preacher. He's mean. He's narrow-minded. You can say whatever you want to. I've been saved 18 years. I've tried the spirits. I read the Bible. I pray. And I know one thing. If a Christian associates with the world and sin, the Spirit of God will bother them. You know, I know people have different convictions. I'm not trying to split hairs with you tonight. People have different routes they go and still be living for God. I know in the book of Acts, them guys split up and went two completely different. There's some things that some people can do, and God bless them, and just go right on with a free conscience, and other things that if you did it, it'd drive you nuts. I don't understand that, but I know it's true. Some of you talk about tobacco, for example. They some of them old grandmas up yonder in them mountains that got a wad of tobacco in their jaw that big around, brother, and can pray a hole through the sky. You can't deny that, man. It's the truth. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying you can't split. Say, well, if you do this, you're sinning. If you don't do just like I do, you're sinning. You can't get self-righteous and condemn everybody but yourself. Like, you know, I have a bunch of different ladies over at my... I shouldn't say it like... A bunch of different women come over to my house. Shouldn't say it like that either, should I? To babysit, I think I had about four different ones this week. That didn't sound right either, did it? While I'm going to preach to babysit. Okay, I'll show you who they are. How many of y'all babysitted for me? Raise your hand. Okay, all right, there they are. Now listen. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me you let those women come in? Pray tell me what in the name of the Lord I'm supposed to do. If I have men come over there, think I'm a queer. I'd rather think I'm running around with a woman than a man. I had. Come on, smart boy, give me some answers. You say, well, Brother Danny, people talk. You know what? I've made up my mind just in the past few months. Brother, as long as I can lay down at night with a clear conscience and I know things are right between me and God, just let them run them long tongues all they want to run them. And I want to tell you something, brother. If I'm doing the best I can by the grace of God, and if you don't like it, you can just lump it. I'm sick and tired of these gossiping, long-nosed people saying, you don't even know what you're talking about. Like somebody the other day told me all about how terrible a person I was, and they said, you ever been to that church? No. You ever heard him preach? No. That's why there's always dumb people like that. But I've noticed about these different babysitters, they everyone do stuff different. Like I'll come home one night and the dishes will be washed. They better be washed. They ain't always. The dishes will be washed. And the dish rag will be laying over top of all the dishes. I'll come home the next night, and the dishes will be washed, and they'll be put up and dried and the thing in the drawer. I'll come home another night. Somebody the other day stuck the dish rag in the drawer and closed the drawer and left it hanging down. And then I look underneath the sink, and the dish wasn't like it ain't where it. I can't find nothing half the time because they're used to doing it the way they do it at their house. Now, none of them are wrong. They just do stuff differently, right? Now, that's the way it is in church. We got to give a little leeway to people that don't do things exactly like we do them. You can't just say just because you don't dot every I like I do, cross every T like I do, that you're just out of God's will. You can't do that. So different kinds of people make up the church. That's the way it's supposed to be. But what I am saying tonight is if a person is filled with the Spirit of God, they draw the line on what the Bible says is a sin. Now, nothing makes me any sicker than some independent Baptist nitpicking over if you got straps on the back of your shoes or not. Some camp meetings nowadays, all they want to do is harp on ladies wearing denim skirts. And they say it's a sin for a woman to wear a skirt made out of denim material. I think that is stupidity, brother. Amen? As long as what a lady has on is decent and modest, what difference does it make what material it's made out of? Show me that in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. That's a bunch of man-made doctrines that preachers invent. You know what I heard the other day? Some preachers won't let their girls, they won't let them wear pajamas. Because they'd be dressing like a man. I asked this guy, I said, well, what do they wear? He said, nothing, I don't reckon. I said, you mean to tell me that wearing pajamas is worse than going naked? But you got all kind of crackpots out there these days. And I don't think everybody has to agree with me on everything. But what the Bible says is right, it's right. What the Bible says is wrong, is wrong. It don't matter what you think about it, or me, or anybody else. Let me give you an example. Free-hearted. I was thinking about this the other day. There's a church down there where I preached this week. Good old church. I'm going back to point two before this, but I'm going to give you one more, and I'm going to hush. There's a church down there where I preached this week. They got a good little church going. Man, them folks, that preacher wants to win souls as much as any preacher I've been around in a long time. That old brother, he worked all day, has to work a job. They only run about 50 on Sunday. They're trying to save money to build them a church, and he works on a job. He come to church, even had to be late, y'all know, Friday night. Ones of you that went, took about 60 down there like Friday night, and that old boy come in late, had a wedding that evening and stuff like that, or something, wedding practice. And he was wore out and went soul winning every night about it after church, knocking on doors, bringing people to church. And you know, I admire a man like it. And he got up one night and he said, folks, we've got 3 acres of land up here that God's blessed us with. And he said, I believe the Lord wants us to build a church there. And I thought, right then, about a week ago, something come back to my mind that I thought a week ago. A week ago, I thought, it's been a long time since our church just hauled off and gave some money away. You remember, we used to do that every now and then. I'd just get up right out of the clear blue and say, let's give so-and-so money. Hallelujah. Woo! Life about. It's been a while since we've done that. And I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, we ought to just haul off. We got bills. We're in debt so bad we can't even hardly make it just like everybody else. And I said, it's been a long time since we hauled off and gave some money away. And the other night when I was sitting there listening to that preacher, I felt like the Lord's dealing with me. He said, there's your man right there. So watch this. Watch how easy this is if we're filled with the Spirit. All y'all that like to give that church down there $1,000 to help them build their new building, just raise your hand. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's all there is to it. Now, you know what would happen in the average church if you done that? Do you realize you would have World War III if the preacher got up and just right out of the clear blue sky, hadn't talked it over with nobody, hadn't done anything, and just said, who wants to do it? You think everybody would say yes? Give away $1,000? That's what I said. You say, well, preacher, we can't pay our bill. We can't pay them anyway. $1,000 more ain't going to help us or hurt us one way or the other. So we'll send him a check, Lord willing, tomorrow. I got his address at home. When you feel the Spirit, money don't mean nothing to you. Somebody here wants to take care of that little job, we'll just let you right after church. All right. Last thing I'll say is this. We got a blessing this week. I forgot to even tell you about it. A little work for me, but it's a blessing for us. There's a big radio station called WPAR down there on 88, Claremont, you know, a lot of you listen there. They got some good and some wild on there. But you talk about a smorgasbord, like a big salad bar. That's what that thing is. And somebody called me up the other day. We'll get $1,000 back right here. Somebody called me up the other day and they said, preacher, the Lord laid it on our heart. A church where I preached revival at down in Hiddenite, Freedom Baptist Church, little bitty church. They said, the Lord laid it on our heart to put you on the radio more. Where you want to go on, we'll pay for it. I said, 88, Claremont. I called the manager and I said, well, we'll do it. We'll have a 5-day-a-week program on there starting this Thursday, and that church is paying for it. Don't cost us a dime. Probably $300 a month, easy. And they're paying for it, and it's for our church and for me, and I'll just preach on there every day. Of course, now it's a lot of work for me. I got to get there and I'll make all those tapes, and there's another at least a half a day's work, at least, if it goes good, just for me. But my soul, if they're paying for it, wow. And it'll be starting at 6 o'clock this coming Thursday. It's called the Bread from Heaven broadcast with Reverend Danny Castle of Marion, North Carolina. Boy, that's a big joke, ain't it? But I tell you what, boy, I'm looking. Guess what? I got Dr. James Dobson's spot, Focus on the Family. They kicked him off and put me on. That's right. That's right. There's probably going to be a lot of people fighting mad, but they had some problems and they couldn't come to terms with Focus on the Family. And Focus on the Family's on every station in the world anyway, and they were overlapping so much that they dropped in. The guy told me, he said, you want that 6 o'clock spot? And I said, yeah, man, at least for a day or two, I'll get all Dr. Dobson's listeners to hear me. I'm going to counsel them. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you do all kinds of things like that. The last thing is this. When a man's drunk, he believes he can do anything. You ever notice that? He ain't afraid of anything or anybody. There'll be a bunch of old boys over there running their mouth, and if one of them's drunk, he says, I'll go over there and whoop a whole blankety blank crowd. They ain't scared, man. They believe they can do anything. They'll tackle a buzzsaw if they got enough liquor in them. But I'll tell you tonight, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you ain't scared of nothing or nobody. You believe you can do anything. And my boys got to high school this week. You know, it's amazing how they did that. I don't know how they did it. It's just amazing how they did it, but they did it. They'll tackle the biggest, the toughest. You can ask a bunch of drunks to help us do something, and they'll come and help them do it. They'll tackle hell the water fester if we're filled with the Spirit of God. I never forget when we preached down at Myrtle Beach. Hardy, I was scared. millions, it looked like, people walking up down the street. Here I stood there. We was the only one had on shirts, ties, Bibles. We looked like complete idiots standing out there. Thousands of people walking down through there. And they said, boys, we're starving. Let's go eat. And I said, I ain't going to eat till I preach. I ain't worthy to eat till I preach. I said, I'm going to preach. And they said, well, if you're going to preach, preach. I stood around there and stood around there. Stood around. I said, I'm going to. It's like when you're little and you're wanting to jump off a big bank or out of a tree or something, you know. You stand there trying to get your nerve up. And the longer you stand there, the more scared you get. I mean, the best thing to do, just go. And boy, I stood there and I stood there. And finally, I opened my Bible and I said, God loves you today. And Jesus died for you. And you remember, boy, I got a little bit bolder. And just a minute, I was saying, the Bible said, I just hauling off just like I do in here. And there was like hundreds of people stopped and crowded around me and started listening. And the more they stopped, the more I started enjoying it. And God got a hold of some teenagers' heart that night when they got in a line behind us at the steakhouse. And we led all of them to the Lord. I think a couple of them have been saved. They got saved. Two of them got saved out in my van. I went over and ate my steak with them. And the Lord opened up the door there, and I just witnessed to them the whole time we was eating, and wound up out my van down on our knees praying and getting saved. And I thought, there ain't no way in the world I'd do that in my right mind. I'd be chicken. I'd be afraid somebody'd cut my guts out just open up like that on the street corner. But you know, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you can believe you can do anything. And a lot of times you can. God usually takes care of you. They asked D.L. Moody one time, they said, how's a person get filled with the Spirit? And he held a glass up like this, and he said, how you get the air out of that glass? He said, if you're going to fill that glass with water, the air's got to be out. It can't be filled with two different things. If you suck it out with a vacuum, the glass is going to bust. You know how to get it out? Pour in the water. And as that water comes up through there, it forces all that air out. Now, Jesus said this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know how to get filled with the Spirit of God? Get filled with the Word of God. If a man's filled with the Word is spirit. That Word of God will work in you, and you pray and read it and pray and read it and pray and read it, and it won't be long until you'll begin to have this overflow. And it forces all that old junk out of your life. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you really just got filled up? You say, Brother Daniel, you mean tell me if I go down there all night and I say, God, fill me with the Spirit, that He'll do it? No, I don't mean to tell you that. There's a little bit more to it than that. You got to be emptied out. You don't just run down here and say, fill me with the Spirit and get it just like that. It's a daily thing of reading the Bible and praying and walking close to God. And gradually the Lord just takes control of every area of your life, and you find some of these things that I've been talking about tonight happening in your life. That's what we need. That's what McDowell County's starving for tonight, is see some Christians that have something outside of these four walls. Let's stand tonight. Brother John, come get us a song. We're going to sing a little bit, not very long. If you need to come and pray, just say, God, I'm going to start reading that Bible. I'm going to start praying. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And you just come on right now. Father, we thank you for...